Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Romans 3:24, justified freely by His grace. Ephesians 2:5, 8, and 9, for by grace are ye saved, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Titus 3, being therefore justified by His grace. The Apostle Paul was the inspired writer in each of these phrases, and the theme is salvation by the grace of God, accrediting the salvation of man to God. Anyone who believes the Bible believes that man is saved by grace. This is a cardinal plank in the Christian platform. Salvation is by grace. It's not a question whether we are saved by grace or whether we are not saved by grace. But we must learn when we are saved by grace. How are we saved by grace? What is the meaning of salvation by grace? And unless we understand, we're going to misunderstand. Now, grace means favor, and in this case, an unmerited favor, receiving an unearned gift, being rewarded on the basis of the merit of some other. When we speak of grace, we have in mind God's part in God's plan for saving man. It is that which God has done, without which, friend, there wouldn't be any such thing as salvation. Now, the Bible does not teach salvation by grace alone. In spite of denominational clergymen that declare that repeatedly, there's nothing in the Bible that teaches that. There's no such statement in the Bible that teaches that. There's no insinuation in Scripture that teaches that, as if there's nothing else but God's grace. Friend, if salvation was by grace alone, and grace, of course, is the action of God, then everybody, regardless of what they did or said or how they acted, they would all be saved because God wants everybody to be saved. If salvation is by grace alone, friend, if anybody is lost and man doesn't have anything to do with it, whose fault would it be they would be lost? Well, it would be God's fault would one be lost. Indeed, that would be incompatible with the teaching of the Bible. Would it be God's inability and His inadequacy of His grace to cover the sins of man? Why, this is denied in Romans 5 and verse 20. You see, friend, when a person sins, if he received his just due, he would die and suffer eternal punishment for his deed. That man can be saved from sin is due to the grace of God. Now, God is under no obligation to the sinner. Whatever provision God has made for man's salvation is due to God's favor extended to man, a favor that man could never deserve. What God has done is not a payment of debt to mankind. As we learn more fully the entire system of salvation, we see that there are many elements involved. It's a system of faith. It's a system of blood. It's a system of works of obedience to the law of Jesus Christ. But in this lesson, we are considering more closely the fact that salvation is by grace. Now, Paul contrasted the salvation by grace with salvation by works or salvation by keeping law. While there are works of obedience commanded in the law of Christ, there are works which we cannot save, by which we cannot be saved. Certainly we're not saved by works of the flesh, Galatians 5, nor are we saved by the works of the law of Moses, Romans 3 and Galatians 2. Our text, including the teaching that we are not saved by works, of which we can boast, Ephesians 2. Let us consider, friend, salvation is by grace of God, but it is not without man's participation. If man never sinned, if he lived perfectly, he would never need the saving blood that was shed on Calvary. God would owe him heaven because, well, if he never sinned, he deserved it. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, it removes that possibility because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And who among us could ever say there's never been a full day without a sinful word or a sinful deed or even a sinful thought? And who could certainly claim such a thing for his entire lifetime? Only the Lord Jesus lived perfectly sinlessly. And our redemption and forgiveness is due to the grace of God, and it's never apart from it. It's never by the kind of works of our own personal worth or our own personal merit. Mankind simply cannot earn heaven. But now, that doesn't mean that man doesn't have anything to do with his salvation. That doesn't mean that man has no works of any kind to perform in order to be saved. You see, God's system of grace also includes a system of law. Romans and James and Galatians, they all teach that. And law must be obeyed. We read how Abraham was saved by works, James 2:21. But by what kind of works? Matthew 7:21 says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father, which is in heaven." It teaches the necessity of man doing the will of God. You know, on the day of Pentecost, the Apostle Peter told people what they had to do to receive the remission of sins, and he further instructed them to save themselves. Now, he didn't say, "Save yourselves by yourselves." They couldn't do that. But there was something that they must perform. There's something that they must do in order to be saved. Hebrews 5:9 teaches, "Christ is the author of salvation to them that obey him." Now, are we to conclude that man is going to be saved whether he obeys the Lord or not? No. Salvation belongs to those who do his part and takes advantage of what God has done on his behalf. While salvation is by grace, friend, it is by grace that is appropriated through faith, Ephesians 2:18, and man must believe. We have access to this grace by faith, Romans 5:2. Sometimes people say, "Well, we're not saved by any kind of works." I fear they know not what they say. Faith is a work, John 6:29. To be saved by faith is to be saved by works. And by works, we take advantage of the grace that God has extended to man. Faith is called a work of God because God commanded it. But it's man that must believe. And it's man that must exercise that faith. Faith causes a man to work, Galatians 5:6. And such works of obedience to the law of Christ are motivated by his love for the Lord. Such works makes faith perfect or whole or complete, James 2:22-26. And while we read of different kinds of faith in the Bible, weak faith, dead faith, little faith, perfected faith, great faith, the faith that saves is the faith that obeys. Paul mentioned at the very start and also at the finish of that great epistle on grace and faith about the obedience of faith, Romans 1:5 and Romans 16:26. There's no conflict between grace and faith and obedience to the law of Jesus Christ. So we can see that when one obeys God, he is saved by grace through faith. When a man obeys from the heart that doctrine delivered unto him, he's not trying to earn his way to heaven. He knows he can't do that. He's respecting the grace system, and that grace system includes faith. And that grace system demands obedience to the law of Christ. When is a man saved by grace? Friend, it's when he obeys the law of our Lord. Saved by faith is appropriating the benefits of the grace of God. All the faith in the world and all the obedience in the world, that wouldn't avail anything except the grace of God has declared that it is essential. Now, the book of Romans, it teaches extensively about the grace of God. And there's a great antagonism between grace and sin. and how grace is more abundant and more powerful than sin and able to cover all sin. But the influence and power of sin cannot be measured because of its magnitude. And yet, the grace of God that's offered through Jesus Christ, it's more abundant, it's more powerful, it is superior to any and if all sin. Grace, as with a mighty sweeping hand, sweeps the dark, onrushing tide of spiritual devastation and death and woe and rolls it away from man, freeing man from its peril, giving him glory in its stead. Romans 5 and verse 20 says, "But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." You see, through sin we lost access to the tree of life, but it is through Christ that we have entrance into the gates of eternal city. Through sin we spiritually die, but by the grace of God, through Christ and our faith in Christ and our obedience to Christ, we are made alive. And one may go so far as he will not heed the gospel, but if he does that, he is turning his back upon the grace that God has offered unto man. The grace of God covered the slaughter of the Christians as committed by Saul of Tarsus. The grace of God covered the idolaters and adulterers in Corinth. The grace of God even covered the murderers of the Son of God, like that on the day of Pentecost. There's no such thing as that unpardonable, unforgivable sin when and if the terms of pardon as given in the system of grace are met by an obedient faith. One final point along this line. Paul wrote, "For there's no difference between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Friend, God created mankind. He saw man's need of salvation. He provided a system of salvation. He offers salvation to all that would come to him. He's no respecter of persons. The need of salvation is universal because all have sinned. Everybody needs the salvation that the Lord brings. And none, if they be saved, have a reason to boast. No one is among the elect of salvation except by the merit of Christ. All shall be saved the same way. We are lost due to our sins, and we cannot be saved except by the gift of God's Son. That's the reason God sent His Son. He loved us. Christ came to this earth. He lived that perfect life. He shed His blood on the cross. That was God's part in God's plan for saving man. That was the evidence of God's grace. Salvation, yes, it's by grace, but it is made ours by faith, a faith that leads us to obedience to God's law and enables us to reach the saving blood of Jesus Christ, which we reach when we obey the command to be baptized, Romans 6, 3 and 4. It is then, it is there, dear listening friend, that the grace of God saves us from sin. It is then and there we're able to rise and walk in newness of life. Yes, please understand, we're saved by the grace of God, but not by the grace of God only. We have our part in that system of grace to fulfill, and that is obedience to the law of Jesus Christ. When we obey, we are saved by grace. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.